girls, I hear you've been running from the beautiful queen that you can be becoming. You can look in my palm and see the storm coming. Read the book of my life and see I'm overcoming. Just because the length of your hair ain't long, and they often criticize you for your skin tone. Gonna hold your head high because you a pretty woman. Get your...
all my life for someone like him. And all this time I thought that he was just a friend. But not just anybody can touch my body.
Well, welcome guys. Welcome to Relationship 204. I am your host. My name is Tanisha Simpkins. And we have with us, it looks like we have, who do we have with us on the line now?
Hey, Tanisha, what's up? This is Lou.
Hey, Lou, how are you? And who
I'm
else
good,
is on the line
good.
With us?
You have your girl, Shekina Glory.
All right. Well, hey, Shekina, how are you? I don't know who, if it's just us three or not, but I'm glad that you guys are here with us tonight. Tonight is a Thursday night. And what do we do on Thursday nights? We have Relationship 204. And why do we say 204? Because sometimes relationship can be basic 101, and a lot of times it can be complicated. That's where we get to 204. And hey, John, how are you today?
I'm well. Good to be on. Forgive me for the.
What up,
you well? Listen, that sounds like a tired well. You sure you well?
No, I'm well. Had a little rough day, but I survived.
Did you? Man,
what up,
I had
sir?
A rough day too, guys. Lou saying, what up? Can you hear him?
What's going on? I do hear him. I didn't want to talk over you. I hear him. What's going on, my brother? Good to be on. I'm still staying COVID-free. I hope to keep it that way.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, just a little bit. I'm glad that everybody is in agreement with staying home and keeping it safe. And we have, two more weeks to go or more than that. I don't know. But on the 30th, almost more than two more weeks. It's 21 days from now. So 3 weeks to go. Being in the home and staying safe and following all the government guidelines to this COVID-19 thing or coronavirus or SARS or, they changed the name. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but just everybody just remain safe, just keep safe, keep doing what you're doing. Hopefully you're just doing the right thing. But I want to thank everybody for joining us. And if you have something to say, just press 1, and then you can come in on the line. We can chime you in. You can, say what you got to say, leave a comment. I'll just identify you, just call out the last 4 digits of your phone number. So, hey, guys, how are you guys again? Hey, Shekina.
Hey, y'all, I'm here in this COVID quarantine situation.
COVID quarantine situation. Yeah, right. So, guys, since we had been out, we were out last week. I do apologize to this training that I had, I had needed to be done. So it kind of interrupted the time, but I'm glad that we're all back here today. But that just gave the opportunity to receive more texts and emails for questions and comments and conversations for Relationship 204. And, guys, if you're out there listening, if you do have a comment or a question or a conversation, you can just write us at relationship204@gmail.com. That's relationship204@gmail.com. So I just want to go ahead and just get right into it since I have a few, and I know for time purposes here. The subject was, it's because of the kids, they stayed. And I want to think that I think everybody's on here been married. Not everybody may have kids, but it's because of the kids they stayed. And this person wrote, you know, me and my husband been together going on 20 years, but 10 out of the 20, we basically live a single life. Okay? We basically live a single life. He lives in one room. I live in another room, but we're in the same house because of the kids. I know it doesn't seem real. I know it doesn't seem like a happy marriage. It works for my family. But only until lately that I've been getting a lot of flack from both our parents that we need to separate and move. What do you guys think? That was their question. What do you guys think? So I just answered that. What do you guys think? So they're asking, so what do we think or what do we feel about it? I'm going to say it like this. Some things work because they work for the best of people. I'm just curious as to if they've been together for 20 years. I'm sure their kids are a little older as to, I mean, to think that their kids don't know or have common sense that, hey, you know, we're together but not really together. I would invite my children, because they may be older, into the conversation as to what's really going on, because sometimes we can think we're doing a benefit to them, but you're really doing an injustice. That's all I got to say.
I think, this is John, I think sometimes we try to stay for the kids, which is a good and very noble act. But sometimes staying could be much more toxic than it can be beneficial. You'll be surprised. Children don't just see what you do and hear what you say, but they pick up on vibes and energy and what they feel, that atmosphere in the house, that environment sometimes communicates to them. They may not know that mommy and daddy aren't married, but they know something's off in the house. I would agree with their parents, and it almost looked like you kind of want your situation, but not want it, one foot in, one foot out kind of thing. And I think it's easier for everyone if they would just part, unless they smash in every now and then. I mean, if they're married, they can. But if that's not the case, it's completely over. I think it's just, to me at least, it's best. I get the noble wanting to do it for the kids, but sometimes that creates more of a problem than it does help. If you can stay together for the children and you can make it work for the sake of the children, that's one thing. But to just live in the home and it's not necessarily you, the two of you being together, I don't really necessarily see the point, although I get the, you know, the thinking behind it, where we don't want to separate the family and create a different family dynamic. But I do think it's time to sort of step out and move on.
Kena Lewis?
I don't really have a comment. I kind of agree with you all. It's a good idea. They mean well. But I'm like you, Tanisha. I'd rather just be upfront. I think in the past, we grew up, you know, us on this line, in a generation where our parents hid everything. You know, they didn't think we knew they was fussing and fighting. They didn't think we knew they wasn't happy, you
right.
know. And I think it did us an injustice, because we needed to know that parents have moments of arguing. We needed to know they don't always get along. And that we needed to see an example of how it should be handled. But we didn't see
exactly
examples of how things should have properly been handled. So when we dealt with it in our adulthood, we went crazy. We didn't know how to handle things because we had no examples on how adults should handle arguments. So I think they should have a conversation with their kids. And if they still decide to stay together for whatever the reasons may be, economically, wanting both parents in the house right now for the sake of the kids, that's great. But bring the kids in. Let the kids understand why they're doing it. They love them. They all get along. We still, it'll be a good way for the kids to see what it's like to still have your parents, but we're just friends now, and we're going to stick it out until you guys can graduate or whatever. So that's what I think.
I agree. Awesome. I agree. you know, I just got off the phone with my family. You know, we tend to stay together since this whole situation with Corona. We Zoom, we talk, we're definitely seeing each other. And I think as a family, for us, you know, 10 brothers and sisters, you know, nieces and nephews, we're huge. And I know for my mom and dad, again, you know, you start to discover things later on as you grow up and have a better understanding at what it is. Now, I think it's important that you do have those conversations, and I'm not sure if it's necessary that you need to stay in each other's home because you can cause confusion in the kids. Their minds are not developed yet to understand that mommy and daddy are together, but they're not lovers. When kids, they grow up imitating their parents. So if they're in that same household together and your kids don't see your parents loving on each other, being with each other, yes, it's okay to be as a family, but if your kids don't see what that look like out of real love, then they will grow up imitating your parents like it's okay not to see my mom and dad hug and kiss because I didn't see it. My mom and dad were friends, so they weren't lovers anymore. So it's okay to do that in my relationship and not really fully understand the effect that it'll have on their relationship as they grow up. So in the beginning, yes, I think it's great to have that communication, include your kids, but let them know what it is. But, you know, at some point you got to make a decision when it's time to either not be in the same household. If you can't be that leader in the family to still show love to, like, the man still showing love to the mother and the mother still showing love to her husband the way that lovers do. And it's not okay because kids need to see that their parents are not just friends, that it is a loving relationship. And it will sometimes confuse them as to thinking it's okay not to do certain things in front of them. Now, I don't know. I'm kind of torn with that because I think my mom and dad.
I'm like this, Lewis. I'm like all that fake in the funk, too. You know, I believe in family and loving and it's economical and perhaps that.
Absolutely.
But it's a lot of fake in the funk, you know, because as kids get older, they're like, we know y'all one together. You know, and imagine being in a house in 10 years of that, we're not together, but we're in the house.
Right.
And Shekinah, he come in there looking like he just was with somebody. You know,
I don't know.
It's a lot of emotions that have to be held back.
Yeah, I think the least they could do, Tanisha, is have a dialogue with their children. If nothing else, if they still decide that this is best for their family dynamic, at least inform the children that we're trying to co-parent under the same roof. However, we are not together. That way there is no confusion.
And John, like you said, you still got to have that conversation because kids have questions and they will question you to death. And they'll ask the why to the like five whys. Well, then why y'all don't do this? And then because my friend's parents, when they come pick up and I see them hug and kiss each other and they see each other, you know, why y'all don't do that, mom and dad? You know, well, we're friends, you know, and you got to really kind of be able to be ready to explain that in depth so that they have a better understanding at what that really means to be family, friends, but non-lovers.
Right. So that leads me into another question here, and it has to do with family. The person wrote, my son is 15 years old, and he's ready for the sex talk, but my husband is not. I thought that was strange, only because normally, you know, it's a woman, you know, that's not. I don't know, but well, then again, because I was ready to say something to my son, but. But the father is not at 15. I'm thinking like 15 might be late. But what do you guys think? I mean, Kenya, you got a son that's an adult now and one coming up, you know. What do you guys think?
I think the longer he waits, the worse it'll be. Again, you do not want that curiosity after puberty kicks in, and it kicks in hard because you have these feelings, you have these sexual urges and drives, and if someone doesn't come and talk to you and teach you how to harness that and teach you how to comprehend what it is that your body is going through, you just wild. And 15 years old, he's probably beating his meat nonstop already. With the urge okay. to release. Let's be honest. At 15, I was out of control, you know, top meat beater in the world. And so, I mean, I think he's behind. I think he needs to get with the ball. I understand that sometimes you're not ready. But we could have a bigger situation to where he impregnates a young lady, all because, and he's not ready to take care on that responsibility, but because we didn't have that talk with him, then you're now having to deal with a bigger situation. So I think, and I hope I'm not coming off as harsh, but I think daddy's going to have to put on his big boy pants and really tough it out and just have the conversation at this point.
And I think you got to keep it real. If you don't, because like you said, 15 is too late. 11, listen, at 10, 11, 12, you what's on media and what these kids have access to on a daily basis will become their teacher. And if you don't come correct with them, they'll think you're faking it and don't want to say anything, and they'll learn on their own because their kids, their friends is talking about it, their friends is probably doing it, and they want to try it. It's that curiosity. So I think at 15 is too late. Dad just have to man up. And, you know, sometimes may have to pull his son aside. And, you know, for me, my mom taught me and my dad didn't. My dad said something similar. He said something real simple. Put your finger in the water when your finger gets cold, when it gets too cold, take it out. I was like, what does that mean? Finger in the water, take it out? And then my mom.
Yeah, what does that mean?
I don't know. My mom scared me by showing me pamphlets of syphilis. Pamphlets of when you have
that'll
engaged.
Work in this generation. I saw that.
I know.
It'll work
know,
in this generation.
I know, but you know, I got scared into it that when you do something that's not that you're not ready for, it can cause diseases and all these different things. So that kind of pushed me aside. Not necessarily did stop me, but I'm just saying, you know, it did scare me a little bit.
Listen, so I was a single parent, right? And I knew it was time for the talk. How I knew was, Tyrone, stay off my computer. That was the first thing. And I had to talk, but I didn't know how to start the talk. You know, my talk was like, listen, we don't need no babies. That's how I started my talk. Seriously. You know, I didn't do it, you know, I don't know if there was a professional way of doing it for a guy, but that's how I started it, and then we went into the conversation. But that was the beginning of my talk. We don't need no babies, and I just, you know, and you don't need this, and, you know, just having a conversation. But from that talk, I have to be honest, from that talk, our communication was so open when it came to him to dating that I almost couldn't stand it then. It was like, why is he telling me this? But I had to listen and be like, oh, really? And act like I wasn't so, you know, didn't want to respond the way I really wanted to respond. But it became an open dialogue with him and girls and, you know, dating and stuff like that. So I was pretty glad. And I think for him being a man, he should make that available too. At 15, like I say, is late to me. So that this young man can be very open, you know. That's just my thought on it. You know, anybody else?
He's beating his meat already. I hate that.
Yeah,
I hate to say
sure.
that.
Everything, yeah.
He's beating his meat already. There's no, at this point, it's out of control. He's doing a very good job at keeping it from his parents.
That's probably why
the wet dream.
She either probably caught him or she was seen.
Oh, yeah.
Or
that's
or
the
something.
Worst thing. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because you're having the wet dreams already. So that's already a thing that we experience in the puberty process. And so if somebody doesn't come and explain that stuff to you, it's your own little sturdy little secret, but it feels so good. So
what do you think
about? But I think they, huh?
What do you think about, so let's change it a little bit now, because you still got to have that same talk with the young ladies. And now with this, not the necessarily the movement, but the self-movement about, you know, independent women and these kids, you know, they start playing with themselves. You know, young girls start playing with themselves, especially if you suppress that, you know, sex is not, you know, you shouldn't be ready for sex until later on. But now what's available to them, how to pleasure themselves and how to make themselves feel good about certain things. And that makes it worse, even though young women are starting at early ages masturbating, just the same way as young boys. And they can be more onto these younger boys of pushing them to do certain things that they may not even be ready for. How do you have that?
You just opened something up.
I know. How do you have that with young women who are now growing up very independent because their mom is independent and, you know, especially in the single family home? How do you do that and still protect our young men and young ladies from not engaging like that?
Here's the issue, I think, Louis.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much that goes into this. It's more than just, you know, remember there was a sexual revolution. And we have a feminist movement today that expounds on these things. And one of my big issues with some of these movements is that they do a very good job at telling women about their independence and telling
Correct.
Women about how this will feel and how you don't need a man for this. And
right.
whatever floats a woman's boat, that's on you. My big issue is that they don't tell women the flip side, that soul ties is a real thing, that you as a woman, because you are a carrier, when someone inserts you, you're more likely, scientifically speaking, you will bond with that person. And then when that individual gets up and walk away, you're left with a broken heart. So there is no, you teach that good part where, yeah, you're a woman, do what you can, but we don't tell them that, you know, you could be left heartbroken because you bonded with somebody who
That's
could
right.
just give you their body and not their heart, like you do, you're doing it. And so it's, you know, they're left with a lot of issues. And then we got the other dynamics where, oh Lord, I don't know who's on, but I'll say it anyway. You have women, y'all do know right now the sale of dildos, they're sold out everywhere. Dildos
Absolutely.
Are sold out everywhere. It was
Absolutely.
On the news.
For real?
Oh my
it's a problem.
God, I've never
sold
heard
out
of it.
Everywhere.
Wow.
Everywhere. To the point where there are officials that had to make announcements saying that dildos are not essentials. Y'all are holding up the lines with people that need real stuff, like books and different things. Y'all are blocking up these lines because y'all are here for dildos. And I'm talking about elected officials had to make announcements. It's everywhere. The sisters are out of control.
It's
and
true.
So one of the things
that
I've realized
I missed that conference. I missed that.
Oh yeah, I have the video. I can post. I'll share the video with y'all. Not only that, we have another issue. I was just talking to a young lady today. Just like we love to talk about how porn affects men, and it does greatly. Porn
right.
and self pleasure, too much of it, can affect you to the
right.
point where a woman's touch is no longer enough or natural for you. You need to just beat your meat. And so there's a flip side to this because women are not being affected. I've seen some of these dildos. They're not normal. And listen, it's just not normal. And then when you have a real man come, he cannot satisfy you because he doesn't
right.
have – you know, he doesn't have something that's 30 feet long. He don't have something that I can't vibrate that quickly. I mean, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I can't.
Absolutely.
I can't stimulate three places all at once. And so what happens is now you have men having to compete, and now you have young women. What's happening to them is they're being introduced to these dildos before men. When they
Absolutely.
Do meet the man, he cannot satisfy them because
right.
opened up another Pandora's box that I cannot even control on my own. So, yeah.
And to piggyback on that, John, what you see now, whether it's on Instagram, Facebook, or whatever, you see more young women showing their bodies in ways to get attention And that they will grow up thinking that's the way you get attention. I don't care what the motive is. If they feel that sex sells and that's how you get the attention at a younger age, you see these young girls, you have more of that than you have young boys being sexual. They're the ones going after these young girls for whatever reason. And these young girls think it's popular. I need to show my body in order to get some likes. I need to show half my cleavage. I need to show half my cleavage and my, you know, my butt, you know, I got to show that how big that is because that's what young guys look at or that's what men look at. And it becomes a problem for our young men who cannot really, a good man who's trying to be with a good woman and she's not understanding what it is, instead of showing her mind and what she can offer, she offers her body first.
And that
can be a problem.
That's so true. Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in my area, even though we may have lived in a community that we lived in, my grandmother was very strict. And when it came to sex, she scared the daylights out of us. Well, she scared it out of me. You know, it was a sin. It was you going to hell, you know, all of that. But now what she did do, she did, and it's something for me as a parent, too, what I did explain to Tyrone Spirit, the of masturbation, because your body will have those urges. I mean, it's just a normal thing. You understand what I'm saying? But it's just like what John said also. If you find yourself overindulging in that, the satisfaction of someone else, it's nothing. You know what I mean? I don't know. Shaquin, you have anything to say?
No, y'all doing good tonight. Y'all taking all the words out of my mouth.
And Tanisha, you said something that's no longer. Grandmas are now 25 and 30 because, and they're doing this. I'm being honest, if you have a child that's 15, 16, because, you know, you had a child, you know, right now you're 25, almost 30, but you had a child at 19. You know, that child is starting to grow up and see, you know, what that is, and they're having sex, and they're making mistakes and having kids. And now you 30, 35, a grandma, and you still getting your groove on. So at 35, you're not strict. You trying to be friends with your daughter.
Well, I'll tell you what. We're competing. I've had mother and daughter come after me on IG before. They're competing.
Hey,
it's a competition.
True.
So then how are you teaching her if she's your competition? You're trying to, you know, so it's bad. I see the you know, the twerking. I've seen some women, there's nothing on their page but twerking. And it's like, sweetheart, I know in social media world, this is going to make you big. You're going to blow up and you're going to be popular. But one day you're going to get older. And you're not going to be the hottest in town. And then you're going to want to, you're going to want a husband. You're going to want to get married. And then I'm sorry. Unfortunately, you're no longer the hottest on the market at that point. Only the Lord can help you then. So it's tough out here. That cosmetic surgery is even more out of control because the thighs don't
fit. You know, that's what we
the thighs
hand,
don't match.
So, you know, it's a
but the thighs don't match, Tanisha. The thighs don't match. You see the butt,
now,
it's out of control, and the thighs don't match.
Listen, I agree with John because let me tell you something. If you want to get cosmetic surgery, that's fine. But your booty should at least be proportioned with your legs. I'm so tired of seeing girls walk around with what look like a lollipop. You know, the lollipop, the stick is so skinny.
It do look like that.
It's like
it look like the letter P.
With your body. It looks horrible.
Look like the letter P.
It's just horrible.
If it don't match, if it don't fit, you must have quit. That's what Johnny Cochran told us. And it's not fitting. It doesn't match.
And I hate that that's the mindset of a lot of young women, even the ones in my family, that I have to go get a bigger butt. For what? You know, one of my family members did it, and I asked her boyfriend. He was like, she's kind to me. But if that's what she want to do. But in their mind, like, that's like a thing that I got to twerk, and that I got to twerk and got to hop with it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're lovely, you're fine, you have all the characteristics of a good person, you know, even right now, with the quarantine, oh, I got to go get my nails done. Oh, I got to go get my hair. I felt that way at first, and I was like, I'm good. I'm not going to risk myself out there. You know, I'm fine. You know, I don't have to go get my nails done. That doesn't define me. You understand? Or go get, you know, this or that. It doesn't define me. Now, if you can do it yourself, do it yourself. If I can sew my own hair in or glue this wig down or whatever the case may be, I went to Walgreens, I bought me some polish, a file cleaner, a clipper, or this and that. Okay, we man spirit, we can do our feet. You know, it's you know, we don't have to allow the beauty or the vainness of what's going on out there to define us as who we are, because then you're always trying to keep that up.
But that's the problem. When you're quarantined, you can't. You're not busy anymore. And when you're busy, you're busy trying to make sure you're keeping up your followers. Make sure you're getting your likes. You're beating your face. You're going out in the world. But now that we're home, you're actually becoming one with yourself. You actually have time to now look in the mirror and see yourself. And so these women that have to just keep getting their nails and beating their face. Like I see people that still beating their face. Now, if you're beating it because you're learning how to do better at it, that's great. But if you're beating it because you don't have nothing else to do and you don't want to see yourself looking crazy, then I want to kind of question if you are really getting to know yourself, because, you know, you don't have – this is the time where you should be able to take them wigs off and walk around the house with your natural hair. Let your skin breathe from all that deep face and makeup that you put on. This is the time to, you know, become one and embrace your own nails. Yeah, you got five nails left because your nails done fell off. Okay, that's fine. Let's embrace, you know what, nobody ain't going to see this. I ain't got no date or, you know, embrace the natural you, women. This is the time to just look yourself in the mirror. Your face got a lot of pigment. It got a lot of blemishes, red spots. Then this is the time to start getting some knowledge on skincare. You know, like, let's do what we need to do instead of keep trying to live an airbrushed life. You're going to live an airbrushed life all the days of your life? Like, come on, where's the authentic you?
Right. And I'm glad you said that. And for those who are listening, you know, be authentic, you know, because it's just like you said, Kina, there's still a lot of people, you know, when I had Facebook earlier yesterday, you know, you could see them still, like, just getting on the camera to do this. I'm not saying that you have to get on any platform to look any type of way. No, I'm not saying that, because everybody have the image of their public figure, you know, and all of that, no doubt. But don't make it a stressor. That's all I'm got to say. And I know for the guys, before I move on, I know half y'all ain't had no haircut, you know, and y'all about to get a fro. I saw you, John. You know, I see y'all. But it's all right. We see a little y'all. But we can see all the people who beard on connect now, too, though.
I'm a barber, so anyway. I always have a fresh cut. So I learned a long time ago.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. So I want to move on, guys, to another question. Oh, we're making good time. It's good time. I wonder what happened to Gerald. So good time. So I have two questions left. And actually, it's about sex as well, too. It says, I have an awesome person, but the sex is horrible. And they use the word horrible. Now what? Question mark. Everything about them is absolutely great. They have a great career, make good money. Credit is awesome. Personality is just fine. In capital letters, the sex is the worst. Wow, so we know that this person has not waited for marriage, okay, so we can just get that out the way. So they test drove, and that's what you're saying? They test drove before they purchased the car, and he or she is saying that the sex is horrible. I'm going to assume it's a female, saying that the sex is horrible. Now what?
What I would need some follow up statements. Why is the sex horrible? Here's why. Because believe it or not, I believe this is my personal opinion. 90% of what we call sexual incompatibility, I think, is a myth. I think you can grow sexually with a person unless there is like an exception where you're dealing with sizes and things like that, where a person is extremely, extremely small or extremely large, or, you know, it's just not good sexual chemistry, but all that stuff can be altered, believe it or not, through conversation. You'd be surprised at how much people are not talking about, hey, what do you like? Does this feel good when I touch you here? You like that? This feels good. Yes, keep doing this. Sometimes it's too frequent. Sometimes it's the speed, the rate. I do believe when it comes to sexual intimacy, one, I think sexual intimacy begins long outside of the bedroom before it enters the bedroom. I think it starts in the mind. I think it starts with, you know, getting the person in the mood. Is there foreplay? How much effort are we putting into the actual act? Are we comparing this person to another person? I was just talking to
a
young lady. I was just talking to a young lady. My heart broke. Oh, my God. So I had been with her in my past. Please, saints, this is the past. But I just had a recent conversation with her, and she said I said, so where am I as far as the greatest? You know, in my head, I've been everybody's greatest.
Oh, Lord.
I did ask. I always ask.
Go ahead, John.
Because I put in the work. And
you
she
put in
told
the work.
Me.
You deserve it.
She told me that I was number two. Broke my heart. I'd never been number two. I'd always been number one. And she said, she gave me the explanation why. She said, now, if you want to be number one, I know you can do it, but we'll have to put in more work. I said, listen, ain't that kind of party anymore. But but there, you know, there's the dialogue is so important. What do you like? You know, I tell people all the time, just converse. I know a young lady that was a biter. She would bite the heck out of me, and it aggravated me. I said, listen, this is painful. You know, you're going to make me step out and punch you or something. I feel like we're fighting. Don't bite me, baby girl. No, it was like the ears and stuff like that or the lips. But she bit so hard, and she was into it. I was like, look, I feel like I almost wanted to bite her back to show her, like, this ain't pleasurable. Because when I do it to you in a certain way that is pleasurable. To you, you're – so we need to call
it. Oh, Lord.
There's a lot of women who, for the sake of protecting our egos, won't tell us the truth. But you're actually hurting your sex life by doing that.
Correctly.
So you need to communicate. Correct. Here, sweetheart, unfortunately, I didn't really orgasm. I've been faking it all this time. Yes, it's going to bruise his ego. If he is a mature man, when he comes out of his feelings, he will say, what feels good? What do you want? What do you desire? Any man that genuinely loves you will want to please you. It will not just be about him. If he genuinely cares, he's going to want to see you climax. He's going to want to see you aroused. He's going to want, you know, and it's just about exploring together. So I think 90% of what we call sexual incompatibility, I think it's a myth. I think you can grow with someone sexually. I've seen this happen multiple times. I've seen people say he was the worst ever and then come back and say, I take that back. He is the best. He just needed a conversation. So I always tell people, go have the sex talk. I call it sexpectation. What do you expect? What's in your head? Let me see how close I can come to meeting that. Are you comparing me to somebody else? You got to drop that comparison. You know, just, you understand? We got to have the talk. We need to have a sex talk.
I understand it, and I agree with you. I believe in a conversation, even during the time when you're together. Go ahead.
John, you had that live with the young lady yesterday, and the question I posed was, you know, I don't know if you remember it, because I was trying to remember her answer. The question I asked was, what if someone has your heart, but they physically cannot satisfy you? And, you know, she was coming from obviously a Christian perspective of what it was like.
Right.
But, I really, you know, we all know sex is but for a moment when you're enjoying it.
what goes for a lifetime is those memories that when you, if you're lonely and you sit down and you think about all the goodness that someone's been to you and how this man did so many different things or this woman took care of certain things, those are the things that bring you closer to missing someone. It, yes, the sex was good, but what you miss is that comfort. You miss the ability to let yourself go because this person enjoys being with you and the time that you've had. Yeah, you'll continue to think about the sex and I want to have sex with this person, but what you remember for a lifetime is how someone treated you and how someone has, you've been on the mind for the little things that's been done. And you said, John, it's about the mind. It's about sex the mind or entertain the mind, because the mind, you know, the quotation is, it's a terrible thing to waste, because it is your mind that lasts longer than the sexual memories
that you would have with someone.
And I think our young females and, you know, our young males, we tend to, I don't think they understand that. So the blowing out the back, right, the continuously.
I was just about to say that.
Talk about the blowing out the back. How you blowing the back out.
All this stuff is but for a moment. But when it stops and you start to think who's there when something happens, crisis, when you need someone to just to love on without having sex, someone to just to hold, that guy who's blowing out your back ain't holding you. He's blowing that back out. And that goes. Yo, let's keep it real.
That is so true.
And it's a struggle because you got to have those conversations.
Say that again, Louis. Say it again. They missed it. Say it again.
Listen, let me say this. I think it is very important. I think what you're saying, Louis, is absolutely 100%. Men need to first and foremost drop their ego. Straight up. Just drop it. I've learned that it's not really about the size. You know, I always tell women, listen, y'all can say y'all want somebody long and hard, all y'all want. I don't want all that pressure. That's just like, I want it to be pleasurable, not painful. So you want to go and get somebody that got a 9-inch and all that, go right ahead, boo-boo. I'm just saying, you know, women,
I thought you were going to say something like 12, 50.
You know, women be saying they want something big and all. I don't know what that is. I don't care. But I'm just saying, it's like, y'all, I want pleasure. I don't want no pain the entire time. You know, I can't even get comfortable. And, you know, I think men need to just, first of all, take the ego out of the room. That's the first thing you need to do.
And second,
understand that your reward is knowing that you caused me to orgasm. That's the reward the man should be looking for, not about them getting theirs off. The fact that you was able to help me get me, that should be what their mind should be, that I made her have her moment, you know, but men are all about, I'm going to get mine. It's not about you getting yours. We should both be getting ours together. I'm talking about married people, just so they're out there. You know what I'm saying? So, man, just get the egos out the room and focus on her, making sure she get hers. You're going to get yours, period. I mean, if you know what you're doing, but check the egos. That's all I want to say about it.
And you're right. I'm glad you said that. Very good. Very well said. So, listen. So I have a last one. This is our last one for the night. Glad we were able to get through this. This was a great conversation, guys. And guys who are listening to Relationship 204, again, if you have something to say, but I see that everybody's just listening and enjoying the conversation, you can just press 1. I'll chime you in. If you have any questions or conversations that you would like for us to add to any of our shows, just write us at relationship204@gmail.com. So the last one says, my ex-husband, son's father, and I have a great relationship. We laugh, talk, sit together at games, but his current girl, fiance, told him to have less interaction with me. I am married, and my current husband is okay.
I'm old fashioned. I'm gonna give y'all my response. I think I'm gonna be the only oddball here, but unfortunately, I agree with his wife or his girl. I think it is too much interaction. Here's what it is. I know a lot of people say, well, that's just being insecure. But I don't think it's insecurity. I think it's about protecting what you love and what you care about, safeguarding your marriage. It is never wise to be that close to an ex. You could be cordial, you could be good, but you once had something. And my belief that if it was ever there before, it doesn't mean that it's always there. But when things are still good, you can spark up memories again. You can create new bonds and eventually create curiosity. I wonder what he's like now. I wonder if he still know how to do that thing with his tongue. Or I wonder if she know how to do that thing she used to do when she blew up my, you know, whatever. And I think it's wise to safeguard your marriage or your relationship. And so for that, I think it's best just to limit the interactions, not because of insecurity, but wisdom, I think, demands it. So for me, I wouldn't be comfortable with, you know, my boo just living life, enjoying her best life with her ex. I think it would be somewhat problematic.
I agree. Mm-hmm. I'm with you, John. Hey, because, I mean, most people, I mean, as human nature, we fall back on what's comfortable. And as soon as we hit a wall in our relationship or our marriage, and you have this great relationship with this other person, you tend to fall back on what's comfortable. And that 9 times out of 10, it will be that person because he's the opposite sex. He listens. You cool. And you will cause issue. You need to, you know, for better or for worse, I'm telling you, it's deeper than it's crisis. For better or for worse is when you have those moments where you become vulnerable, and the person that can tap into your vulnerability is the person that's going to get the upper hand. And 9 times out of 10, it is not your husband or wife because you are at odds with them. And with the person that you're friends and cool with, you're okay with going to them and letting go. And you just leave room or space. And that's all sometimes a man needs is space to get in just for a moment. And a lot of women fall to that situation. So me personally, nah, I need you to sever that because we're going to work this out, you know, for better or for worse, regardless. I don't want you going nowhere else. I need to fix that. I need to make it work for our family.
That's good. Tina?
Keep me fair. She agreed with all that we done said.
That was it. Well, I'll say before Tina, mine is kind of like a double sword to this. I'm very comfortable because normally in a relationship, I've dated or been in a relationship where they're, you know, stepkids or things of that nature. And I know that a lot of events, you do end up going together, graduation, violin, you know, musicals, and, you know, all of those things. So you want to sit apart, but your kids have an expectation that you're all going to sit together. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, you sit together, you have that conversation and things of that nature. So I do believe there's nothing wrong with still having a family structure, you know, with that. But I also agree, I think it was what Lewis said, of how the temptation, because that's what it is, of two being too common with each other and two remembering back in the day, you know, type of thing. And just like what you said, and I'm quite sure, I wonder how, you know, and she may be wondering, you know, in those times together of loneliness together, you know, you're thinking if that may strike up, you know. And I don't think it's being, you know, having some type of fear of yourself or anything like that. It's just keeping it real. But at the same time, you know, like I said, you still have that family, that blended family type of setting, you know, of what it is. I think that apparently he must have told her this So that's where we already know that they have conversations like that. So he must have told her this for her to present it. Now, should she run with it and talk to her? I guess that would be the question. Or we should make it that it's his job to do what she said do. I need to back up, push back some. Go ahead, Keenan. You still there? Okay. She must be doing something else. But, you know, I mean, how do you guys feel about it? Do you think that she should be the one that, since he told her, hey, sis, you know, I don't want your man, you know, like, you know, what type of conversation, or is it his job, or should he just agree to, okay, you know, let me back up. I won't, you know, have conversation as we should, high and by. Then some people, because they've always had a friendship, they'll feel like now you're trying to rule my life. You know, you're trying to tell me what to do with my friends. What do you think about that, guys?
Me personally, I think the man and his wife, I would say that. Me personally, and if she's cool with him, that means I know him. Because if you have a relationship where you don't have any secrets, and this guy has been friends with your wife for whatever time or whatever it may be, me personally, I will have a man-to-man talk out of respect, because that I don't want to have another talk after my wife done talk and it didn't work, and now I got to come talk, because by then it's too late. I want to have one conversation, man-to-man, hey, I appreciate the friendship that you have with my wife, but I think out of respect for my marriage and my time and my family, I'm going to ask that you lay low or you back off and allow me to do my family, and I'm not going to ask again. There should be no other comment. If he can't back off from that, that's a problem. I'm not going to have a conversation after my wife had one. It needs to be a straight conversation, and not a bad one, because if y'all cool, you know, I would say, hey, listen, man, let's talk, and just leave it like that. He had that man-to-man talk. Now, if he can't respect that, that's when it becomes a problem.
Okay. All right.
I'm in agreement with that.
You're in agreement? Okay, good. So, guys, we've had a great conversation. And, you know, John, we were talking about the young ladies. I was curious to know, you didn't put your, because you have two young ladies. How old are they now?
My girls are 8 and 11. They'll be 9 and 12.
Okay.
Some few months.
Yeah, and I know you as predominantly as a single parent. Well, not a single parent, but I don't know. That parent.
Might as well call me that. You might as well call me that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, I ain't want to, you know, make nobody, you know, I think I'm a single parent. You know, you're going to have that difficult conversation, well, hopefully, because you'll be going to middle school.
I already had the conversation. I had no time.
Okay. All right. Awesome.
I already had the conversation. They knew way more than I thought they did. And I had to think back. I was like, when I was in elementary, I knew a lot more than my parents thought I did. And so I came to them with that approach. I said, listen, I was y'all age. Don't play me. I know what y'all know. And they confessed.
What?
They knew a whole lot. Don't play me. I ain't the one you can play. Come
right.
play innocent here. What y'all know? And when they told me what they knew, I was blown away. Like, oh my. Remember, we're in a generation worse than mine. I knew that much, and there wasn't the internet. There wasn't social media. There wasn't TikTok that they're on all the time. There wasn't, I mean, there was TV, but, you know, these things were not easily accessible like they are today. And so. You'd be surprised with kids and all. That's why I'm telling the gentleman at 15, you are way behind.
Right. Well, thank you guys so much for being a part of Relationship 204. Guys, make sure that you catch us back here on next week, Thursday, at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We do start on time, and we're ending on time. Today, something happened to me. My Facebook was hacked. And at the result of being hacked, I was disabled. My account was disabled. It was bad. I don't have it yet, so I don't know how long Facebook is going to reenact my reactivate my account or whatever it is that they do. I send them all the information that they needed. But I'm okay with it because I don't depend on it. That was the best thing about it. I was like, well, okay, because I still have business, you know. I don't depend on it, but I do like to advertise and be nosy and see stuff and post my stuff. So, you know, how that goes. But you guys who are out there listening, you can reach us at, again, at relationship204@gmail.com. If you want to speak to any hosts, you can go on the Instagram. Y'all shout out y'all Instagram right quick. Because they be cheating on me on Radio Land. They be out there talking to them other folks and stuff, having shows. Go
oh, Lord,
shows.
Say that and stuff. My Instagram is
yeah,
John Mompless there. It's John Mompless there, JohnMompLaisir. Facebook, it's the same thing, John Mompless there. Twitter's John Mompless there. And my website, www.johnmompless.com.
My Instagram is Men Loving Right without the G. Also, my Facebook is just Lewis Johnson. I also, you know, tag there as well. But I don't have Twitter. I have a website yet. But definitely on Instagram, Men Loving Right.
Yeah, I think that's the best one on Instagram, Men Loving Right on Instagram. And both these guys be dropping some jewels. And, John, when you drop your video, send it to me because I posted Lewis' videos and stuff like that. And Shekinah is Shekinah Screen,
okay.
Or Shekinah Brutal, Shekinah Glory. If you put any of that in the search, you're going to find her on Instagram, Facebook, and so forth. So, guys, we thank you so much for tuning in to the Relationship 204. And we're going to say good night.
Joe.